Welcome back to Maiden March. Today is Sunday, March 17th, also known as St. Patrick's Day, but more importantly to us, it is Selection Sunday. Fellas, we're dusting off the podcast mics. First time in about a year since last Selection Sunday, but ain't it a blessing? We're here bringing down another bracket.
Yeah, so glad to be back. For our loyal fans out there, we've been busy. We're college students nearing the end of our college careers, so we got a bright future ahead of us, big plans. We just haven't really had the time. We're happy to be back, bringing you this bracket breakdown.
The best time of the year.
Absolutely the best time of the year. And what a bracket breakdown this is going to be, because I have not seen a crazier bubble and more surprising bracket unveiling than this year in recent memory. Have you guys?
No, the amount of bid steals, especially like right at the end, was pretty crazy. And that made for a lot of interesting bubble conversations. And the fact that like some of these were happening on Saturday and the selection committee probably had to just quickly pivot and be like, okay, now what do we do? And obviously there's going to be some teams that got absolutely snubbed. And that's just kind of what comes with it when there are so many bid steals.
I think the statistic was that there were 20 teams that were the one seed in their conference that got bounced in their conference tournament. I'm pretty sure it set a record. So yes, like you mentioned, a lot of bid steals, which we'll get into, which obviously led to a lot of crazy bubble decisions. Alex, do you want to get us started on bubble decisions? Because I can't imagine you're too happy about the Big East only getting three teams in while the Mountain West gets six.
Yeah, I think the Big East disrespect was crazy this year. I thought two teams had a great case to make the tournament. The first being Seton Hall. They were five games above 500 in the Big East, and this was the first time in history that a team five games above 500 in the Big East did not make the tournament. They beat the number one overall seed UConn. They beat two-seeded Marquette, so they had those quality wins. I think the committee just looked at the Big East and saw DePaul and Georgetown sitting down there, and obviously those wins mean absolutely nothing, which really hurts a team like Seton Hall. And then I really wanted the Johnnies to get in. I thought Patino had the boys playing great basketball down the stretch. And St. John's is the highest team in KenPom to not make the tournament, sitting at 25.
Wow.
The math is not mathing on that.
Yeah. I really wanted to see Rick Pitino in March Madness again. I think he would have wore the white suit, had the boys buzzing.
Absolutely.
Wes, what was your biggest problem with the
bracket? I would say Boise State got in with, I think, 10 or 11 losses in the Mountain West. They definitely did not deserve to be in. The Johnnies obviously played incredible down the stretch. Too many Mountain West teams in, seriously. Like, the fact that Mountain West is double the amount of teams as the Big East is unbelievable.
I mean, Mountain West basketball this year was actually pretty competitive.
Yeah, it was competitive.
So I don't want to hate on the Mountain West too much.
Yeah, I mean, they but like six?
Yeah. It's a lot of love given to the Mountain West.
Six is crazy.
One other team I want to shout out that didn't get in, and I don't even really want to bang the drum for them too much, was the Indiana State Sycamores.
I mean, they should have won their tournament.
They should have probably won their conference tournament, but they were 29 in the net, which is the highest ranked net team to not make it. So you just always got a feel for teams like that when they just break the mold of something that has never happened before, especially a team like Indiana State.
That's probably never going to make the tournament.
They're only going to make
Larry
it
Bird.
The conference.
And they had a cool player, Robbie Avila.
Yes, Robbie Avila would have been really fun.
Yeah, and we're letting in lame teams like Virginia, who played in a weak ACC.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
Yeah. Nope.
But you know what? We can't really complain too much because we do have a bracket in front of us and we get to pick these games. And shall we start?
Yeah,
I agree.
All right. We'll start in the East region. So with those of you with a paper bracket, that would be the top left region. We've got number one seed UConn versus 16 seed Stetson.
One of our roommates came out today and just started a conversation by saying, tell me why UConn won't win it all again. And I think that's a fair question to ask. This team has looked absolutely dominant all year. I mean, they've absolutely ran the Big East and have beat Marquette three times and have somehow lost, what, two or three starters from last year's championship team?
Three starters. Yeah.
And have just reloaded. And it seems like they're at the same strength, if not even better than last year's team. And it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, this team, it has everything you want. For a team that can make a deep run. Elite point guard, elite big, depth, perimeter shooting. I mean, you look at the guys they lost. They lost Andre Jackson, Jordan Hawkins, Adam Sinogo. We'll just plug in Cam Spencer, who's having a fantastic year. Donovan Klingon at the five. This team's loaded. Hurley's done a great job yet again. They're very deserving of this number one overall seed.
Yeah, there's literally nothing about them. They really don't have a weakness, as crazy as that sounds. And obviously, they're the reigning champions. And as you mentioned, Cam Spencer, what a pickup from Rutgers. Yeah. I mean, he's shooting the lights out.
Villain story, though. He's developing a serious villain personality.
He is a villain. And honestly, do not be shocked if UConn repeats it.
Do not be shocked whatsoever. So there's going to be two sides of people being like, oh, no one can ever repeat. Like, that's impossible. And then just you actually look at the team, I feel like it's...
There hasn't been a repeat champion since the 07-08 Florida Gators, right?
Yep.
That was like Joakim Noah. Who else was on that team? I want to say Corey Brewer.
That sounds right.
Yeah. But it's been a while, basically.
It has been a while.
Yeah, I don't think Stetson's going to be giving them too much problems. But you never know. Fairleigh Dickinson last year. Do any of us have UConn winning at all?
I do not. I have them losing in the championship game.
As do I.
Oh, I do too. So we all have them in the championship game, but not winning.
I feel like picking UConn...
It's not a value pick.
About
40% of people are going to pick UConn.
To win it all for sure. But like, even if you just were to somehow pick UConn to get, you know, upset in the Elite Eight or some of the maybe earlier rounds, I feel like most people, like, obviously if that happens, then good on you and you're just going to blow the competition out of the water. But so many people, I bet, I don't know what the percentage is going to be, but I'd imagine at least 75% of people have UConn in their Final Four.
Yeah.
Maybe 85, 90 even.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot. So basically what we're saying, UConn's a safe pick.
Yes, correct. Very, very safe pick. Moving on to the 8-9 matchup, we have 8 seed Florida Atlantic. Weird seeding. I think we were all sort of expecting maybe a 9-10 seed for Florida Atlantic. They struggled down the stretch a little bit. Versus 9-seeded Northwestern out of the Big Ten.
I know Northwestern's a little bit banged up. They were missing two guys in their...
Ty Berry's done for the year.
Then they have a big man out as well, too, against their Big Ten conference game, or champion Big Ten tournament game against Wisconsin. I know Boo Booey left the game for like 6 minutes and then came back, but they live and die by Boo Booey.
Yes.
Can Boo Booey drop 30 for them? That's kind of where I stand on that.
And Florida Atlantic is not that good of a defensive team, but like all they got to do is slow down Boo Booey a little bit. Like, you don't even have to totally stop him.
Yeah.
He's going to get his.
Yep.
But just try to slow him a little bit.
Yeah. I've got FAU in this one. I like John L. Davis a lot. I think he'll be able to contain Boo Booey. I think FAU's a more balanced all-around team. And we saw what they did last year. I don't know if they can go that far again. But this team has experience. They know what it's like to play in these big games. I think FAU's just the better all-around team.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think they have more pieces. Vlad Golden's another guy that has a lot of experience. Yeah, let's not forget
about Vlad down low.
That is a nice piece.
And I've got FAU too. I mean, were they preseason top 10?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So relative to preseason rankings, they've actually, you know, they've struggled a little bit. It hasn't been all perfect for FAU, but they went to the Final Four last year. Like, this team does have a lot of experience, and, you know, Boo Booey, you know, old veteran player for Northwestern, but I think FAU is going to be able to overcome them.
I agree.
I also agree.
Next up, we got 5-seed San Diego State. Which, by the way, this is the third team that we have talked about in this region that was in the Final Four last year.
Yep.
Versus 12-seeded UAB, the Blazers coming out of the AAC, their first year in the AAC. Correct. They win the AAC tournament, so congrats to UAB.
That was a bid steal conference as well, too, as FAU is also in the AAC, and obviously they got a generous at-large bid of an 8-seed. I don't know if anybody really expected UAB. They're an 11-loss team. San Diego State, though, the Mountain West, I feel like everybody's beat up on each other. I feel like no team really, like, took control of that conference, and that, I guess the seeding kind of shows that, as everybody's in, like, the 5, 7, 8, 9, 10 kind of range. So I have SDSU in this one, but I just don't buy into the – I mean, obviously UAB is hot at the right time, and there's an argument to be made for that. But I think San Diego State – takes care of UAB. I don't think UAB has too many elite scores. I actually, I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't watch that much UAB ball.
They got your boy Eric Gaines still.
Eric Gaines, oh my goodness, he is still there. He's been there for like 3 years, but yeah, I don't like UAB. I don't believe in the I don't believe in them taking down SDSU in this one.
I've got UAB. I really liked what I saw from them in their conference tournament run. Their best players are 6'9 big. I think he'll be able to bruise down low with Jaden Ledee. Obviously, Ledee's going to be able to get his. But I think UAB, they throw a lot of different defenses at you. We saw them go zone a lot. SDSU's not a great three-point shooting team. So I think UAB can get this one done.
You know, I had a really difficult time picking this game. I ended up going with San Diego State just for the experience factor there. But I was really close to picking UAB. Alex, we were watching the UAB semifinal game the other night. And after they won, one of their players gave one of the funniest post-game speeches I've ever seen. Some reporter was asking, you know, how did you guys win this game? You know, what was the key? And he basically said, we're not very talented, but we're just all dogs, which is a quote that you can interpret in one of two ways. You can interpret that and say, UAB is really not that talented, or you can say, these guys are just hungry and want to win. Absolutely. Unquantifiable for sure, but I don't know. That's something that's kind of fun to root for, so I really could go either way on this. I have San Diego State at the moment, but it's a game that I reserve the right to change.
Okay.
That's fair.
Moving on, we got 4-seeded Auburn taking on 13-seeded Yale, who barely squeaked by Brown in the Ivy League championship game this morning.
What a crazy Ivy League tournament it was. I think Brown was a 12 win, like 12 and 19. They were not good.
Something like that.
They beat 25-3 Princeton. And obviously everybody expected Princeton to come out of that conference, especially after what they did last year. And Yale had to have a huge comeback in the last 20 seconds to take down Brown. They're down 6 with like 24-ish seconds left, and Brown absolutely collapsed. I think this is probably better for the tournament, because seeing a 12 or 13 win Brown team in here would have really stunk. And I guess this is a little bit better, but especially with how Auburn's been rolling. Now, they had an amazing SEC tournament. So,
do any of you guys see this game being particularly close?
Yes.
Really?
I do. I have Auburn in this game. However, it's two very different contrasts of play styles. Yale likes to slow it down. Auburn likes to get out and run. Yale does not turn the ball over. Auburn is prone to turn the ball over. I did pick Auburn in this game, but I feel like if Yale is able to slow it down, I can see it being a game. I just think Auburn physically, athletically, are much more talented than Yale, which is why I picked them.
I agree. The metrics and computers love Auburn as well. Where are they in KenPom? Like 6, 7, something like that?
Four. Wow, fourth as a 4 seed.
Yeah, that's right
around where UConn was last year when they won as a 4 seed.
But then on the flip side, I could be getting teams mixed up, but isn't Auburn the team that does not have very many quadrant one wins?
Correct.
How many? Yes. They've got like what? Like
maybe like 4.
Well, yeah, maybe even less.
The SEC tournament.
Yeah, basically, that's a good point. And it changes so much with the net shifting. But
yeah.
But yeah, their Q1...
resume is not very strong.
Resume is not too strong, but yeah, I really don't see Auburn struggling in this game.
I don't either, yeah. But
you know what? Maybe Yale slows it down, like you said, Alex. Moving on, we've got the 6-seeded BYU Cougars taking on 11-seed Duquesne, who is in the tournament for the first time since 1977. Congrats to Duquesne.
Congrats. There we go, Duquesne. The Duquesne's mascot?
The Duquesne Dukes, maybe?
That sounds right.
Actually, the Dukes. I thought people were joking when they were saying that.
Yeah, fact check this real quick. But, Alex, I know you have Duquesne.
Yeah, I have Duquesne. I don't know. A few years back, I picked BYU Final Four. They got bounced by 11-seed UCLA. So I said I would never pick them again. I'm not picking them here. I like Duquesne. BYU, obviously, they're battle-tested, playing in the Big 12. They shoot a ton of threes. But the reason I like Duquesne is their top 75 in three-point defense. And also just because I don't like BYU.
I love that. Way to stand on business. Yep. Way to not fall in and pick BYU again. I'm a huge fan of that play by you.
Legacy Alex. Pick. That's a legacy pick.
I'm rocking with BYU, and in fact, I have BYU making an Elite Eight run. You know, hopefully I don't fall the same fate
You'll
as you.
You'll probably be disappointed.
But this was BYU's first year in the Big 12, correct?
Yep.
And they really didn't miss a beat in their first year in the Big 12. Like, they stepped up, and yes, I'm definitely counting on them to be shooting it well to make an Elite Eight run, but they're a team that clearly has done that this year.
And I think they can. They're 16th in KenPom as a 6 seed, so
yeah.
The math is technically no math in there. I also have BYU in this game. Duquesne with a little bit of a Mickey Mouse A-10 tournament run, I'd say. I don't believe in Duquesne. The Duquesne, and it is the Duquesne Dukes, confirmed.
Okay.
The Dukes.
Very unoriginal mascot name. They just stole their... Solar University.
But congrats to Duquesne, honestly. Yeah, that as much as we joke, that's a cool story.
I agree.
Moving on, we got 3-seeded Illinois, who just won the Big Ten tournament against Wisconsin, facing 14-seeded Morehead State. Morehead State, I feel like they've made quite a few tournaments these past handful of years.
They have, yeah. With originally with was Jani Broom.
Yeah, now he's at Auburn.
Now he's at Auburn. That was, what, 3 years ago. So I feel.
But like Morehead State's got another really good player. Alex. Yeah,
Riley Minix.
Riley Minix.
Averages just about a double-double for Morehead.
Yeah. Do any of us have Morehead State winning this game?
I do not.
I have the Illini. The Illini have looked. T. Shannon.
He has a case for best player in the country.
He's looked unstoppable. Yeah. And he's, I mean, they do have Domask as well, and as well, Goody is a solid shooting option as well, too. Coleman Hawkins still stinks, in my opinion.
That's a bad take.
He makes a lot of boneheaded Coleman plays, Hawkins, but he's a good player.
Coleman Hawkins is an elite defender.
Yeah.
Elite.
Yeah, he's an elite defender, but on offense, sometimes he is absolutely questionable. But Terrence Shannon has a case for one of the best players in the country.
Despite all of us picking Illinois, it has to be said, they've had a lot of tournament failures in the past. As a 1 seed, they lost to 8-9 seed Loyola, whatever that was. Yeah. I think when they were a 5 seed, they like barely squeaked by a 12 or 13 seed, and they really haven't gone on any deep runs. So I think Brad Underwood is really gonna go into this tournament trying to prove something. Obviously, I have them losing to BYU, but you could definitely see Illinois going on a run. I mean, heck, they won the Big Ten, so
yeah. I think they have a strong case, and they're a pretty deep team as well too. So. And picked up some nice transfers.
Yeah. Moving on, we got 7-seeded Washington State facing 10-seeded Drake.
I've got Drake in this one. I like Tucker DeVries and Darnell Brody. Nice 1-2 game.
Those guys
are experienced.
Been there forever, I feel like.
Yes, they have been.
Like, I feel like I remember Darnell Brody from, like, 2019 or 2020, maybe. Like, he's been there forever. And then obviously Tucker DeVries is like,
he's the coach's kid, right?
Kid, but yeah. He's a bucket. Yes, he averages like 20.
No nepotism.
22, 6, and 6 or whatever. He's a legit player. And I also have Drake in this one as well, too.
Yeah.
Setting up for a potential in-state Iowa showdown. But, yeah.
We were talking about Indiana State earlier as, you know, not getting in. But Drake was the team that beat them, and I believe Drake beat them 2 out of 3 times this year.
Correct.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you guys mentioned it. Tons of experience. This Washington State team out of the Pac-12, if we want to talk about them, I don't really have a good read on them. I sometimes don't stay up for these late-night Pac-12 games. Alex, do you want to tell me a little bit about Wazoo?
Yeah, they had a pretty good year. I think they exceeded their preseason expectations. If there's one guy that can really get it going for them, it's freshman Miles Rice. Really, really good 3-point shooter. Yeah, so that's the one guy you got to watch out for.
They did beat Arizona twice.
Yeah, they did. And we've all got Drake here. And I'm looking at your guys' brackets. Do we all have Drake upsetting Iowa State in the next round?
I do.
I do as well.
That's crazy. We all have a 10 seed beating a 2 seed. I'm not sure we've ever done that before.
That is pretty crazy. My reasoning behind it is because Iowa State never blows anybody out. They're solely a defense.
Aside from Houston,
and Houston scored 40 points. And that was just, I think that was a fluke for Houston more than, I mean, obviously Iowa State's a good team and they're a good defensive team. And they could do that to anybody they play. But I think the tempo they play at makes them prone to upsets. And I'm kind of looking at them in a way like I used to look at Virginia, where because they play so slow, because they aren't very efficient offensively and score a ton of points and blow a lot of teams out, that teams can hang around. I think Drake is 100% good enough to hang around and make a push late at the end of the game, especially with the experience they have to get the job done.
Yeah, I think you hit on it. This is what scares me about Iowa State is their lack of big shot makers. Mm-hmm. They're first in KenPom in defensive efficiency. Yeah. We saw that everybody when they held Houston to 40 points.
Yeah.
However, it really scares me. That they don't have many guys that can make big shots. I like Taman Lipsy. But Milan's young.
Yeah. They don't have like a guy who can just go out there, create for his own, and just get you a bucket whenever you need him.
And Meanwhile, Drake does.
Yes, and let's keep in mind, both these teams are from the state of Iowa. Wesley, you mentioned that. And in this hypothetical game, it'll be played in Omaha. That game is going to be absolutely filled with people from all across the state of Iowa, and it's not going to really feel like a 2-versus-10.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think anybody that's not an Iowa State fan, like, for example, maybe a University of Iowa Hawkeyes fan, would definitely be riding on the Drake bandwagon.
Yes.
So. Could be exciting.
I feel like we have buried the lead a little bit here, but moving on, it is 2-seeded Iowa State versus 15-seeded South Dakota State. Obviously, we all have Iowa State winning this game, but this Iowa State team...
They're upset prone.
I think
they're absolutely upset.
I think they're upset prone too.
And I had mentioned this earlier off the podcast, but I said if they would have gotten maybe a different 15-seed draw, I mean, I don't know what a better draw would have been in terms of like a better 15-seed. I may have picked them over Iowa State. I think that Iowa
State... All right, Wes. You're telling me that you're going to pick Long Beach State.
No, I wanted Western like an Kentucky. Oakland. I wanted
shout
an
out
Oakland.
Long Beach State, though.
Yeah, shout out Long Beach State.
Crazy run.
Yeah, crazy run with a quote-unquote fired
coach.
The
fired coach, yeah.
But,
yeah.
Like, I wanted Oakland to get a 15. And, you know, unfortunately, that matchup would have been electric. But.
Okay, so we all think Iowa State is upset prone. And then, obviously, we mentioned it earlier... that concludes this region, but we've all got UConn in the Final Four coming out of this region. I've got UConn and BYU in my Elite Eight. What do you guys got?
I've got UConn versus Illinois.
Me, I do as well.
Okay. All right.
Let me mention one game quick. Okay. We touched on Auburn being top four in KenPom.
Auburn, UConn.
If there's one team that can take down UConn from this region, it's Auburn.
100%, yes.
And I wouldn't sleep on Bruce Pearl in March. We've seen it before. Yep. He's taken 5-seed Auburn to the Final Four. I think I was kind of confused picking this game.
Me
I went back
well.
And forth for a little
I
bit.
I thought about this for a while.
I think if there's any team in this entire region that can beat UConn, it's Auburn.
Yeah. One more note on this region, by the way. They have the Big East, the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the SEC tournament champions all in one region.
That's crazy.
That is wild.
It just shows that the committee really doesn't value these tournaments as much as people sometimes think they do. Yep. But that's a topic for another day. We'll move on to the West region, which is bottom left. We got 1-seed in North Carolina facing the 16-seed either Howard or Wagner. Were you guys shocked at UNC getting a 1-seed? There was a little bit of debate. Some people thought maybe Iowa State was going to get it, but me personally, I kind of always knew it was going to be UNC getting the last one.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, Iowa State, they're a 7-loss team, obviously. So, I mean, so is North Carolina. But North Carolina's season sweep of Duke, I think, was pretty powerful. I mean, Duke's been was a top 10 team all year, essentially. And I think they did deserve it. I mean, it's essentially, you know, tomato-tomato. I feel like they're pretty closely rated. I would have not, you know, lost sleep over Iowa State having the one. But, yeah, well-deserved for UNC, I think.
I agree. I think the head of the committee mentioned non-conference strength of schedule.
That was it. Iowa State was
Iowa
like 315.
Was ridiculously low. So I think it's right to go to UNC, even though in conference they played a weaker schedule than the Big 12. But UNC had a great season. I think they deserved it.
Obviously, I don't think either of us are going with the Bison of Howard or the whatevers of Wagner. We're all rocking with UNC here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to the 8-9 matchup. 8-seeded Mississippi State versus 9-seeded Michigan State. I think this is going to be a really good game.
Yeah, is this the first game of the tournament?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Which is BS, of course. Classic. They always do an 8-9 or a 7-10.
Which I love, actually. I totally disagree with you.
Half the people are out right away.
Yeah, let's break some brackets right away. Let's get it out of the way. But I've got Michigan State winning this game. I have a rule that if Michigan State makes a tournament, you just have to pick them for a game or two. You just have to.
Izzo in March is unbelievable. There was a stat they shouted out today, and it's I think it was Clark Kellogg, I think, said that Izzo, when he's the lower seed, or the higher seed, the lower seed, is 65% of the time as the lower seed. So as a worse theoretical team, he wins more, which is very interesting to hear. And I feel like Izzo is just one of those guys you just don't bet against in March.
Yep, and I won't be doing that. I'm going with Michigan State. And I actually have Michigan State going on a Sweet 16 run. This Michigan State team was preseason top four, right? Weren't they ranked fourth in the country preseason?
Top 10 for sure. I think they were right around
really
there. Yeah,
they were really high. They lost to James Madison first game of the year, and they really had a lot of struggles. But I just think Izzo's going to get it done. Like, it's just a feeling. I know it's non-quantifiable, but I just think they're going to get it done. And the metrics do like them as well. Alex, can I get a KenPom check on Michigan State?
Certainly. They are 18th in KenPom.
Okay.
Exactly.
18th as a 9-seed. Like Wesley said, the math ain't mathin'. So I'm going with Michigan State.
Michigan State's a deep team. They have Tyson Walker, A.J. Hogard, and Malik Hall are the three guys to look out for. The problem is where I could see some issues coming in is Michigan State does not have a good big man. They have three mediocre to very below average big men. trying to match up with Tolu Smith, who's an absolute beast down low. I see Alex just made a little maneuver with his pencil over there. Did you have a little change of heart?
Yeah, I just changed my pick to Mississippi State. I'll probably change it like 3 more times before I got to lock in my bracket. But
is it the Hubbard and Smith season?
I think these two teams have a very similar makeup. They struggle a little bit offensively. And defensively, they're very good. Both top 20 in defense in KenPom, both above 50 offense in KenPom. I'm going to give the slight edge to Mississippi State here with Tolu Smith. I don't think Michigan State has the physicality to play with him down low. He's going to get a lot of offensive boards. And shout out Josh Hubbard. I love his game on Mississippi State. Big shot maker.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a really good game. Like, obviously, I have Michigan State winning 2 games, but I would not be surprised in the slightest if Mississippi State wins.
I also have Michigan State winning 2 games, which is...
Let's go, Wes. Let's go.
You guys are seeing the board
pretty Yeah, pretty I know. It was pretty right crazy. Now. Yeah, it's very, very similar.
Wesley may have been spying on my bracket, possibly. Who knows?
Yeah, I think one of your money change.
Moving on, we've got 5-seeded St. Mary's. Talk about a team I love. Playing 12-seeded Grand Canyon. Coming out of the
Antelopes?
Chucky, you start with this one.
Yes. I am picking St. Mary's to win this game, but I'm not only picking them to win this game, I'm picking them to win 4 more games. I've got them going to the Final Four. Really like this St. Mary's team. They started off, I don't have their schedule in front of me, but I believe that they lost their first 5 conference games, first 4 conference games, something like that.
I can pull it up. But yeah, they did struggle early.
They struggled very early in the season, yeah.
I think they were like, they started like, what, like 3-6 or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and since then, they have been on an absolute tear at Partorvik, where you can sort the data starting on like certain dates.
Mm-hmm. They haven't lost since Christmas, I think.
They haven't lost a single game?
I'm pretty sure they haven't
lost. I think they lost to Gonzaga once.
Oh, but, yeah, that's right.
But,
yeah, okay.
But since Christmas, they have been statistically a top 8 team in the country.
That's
Aiden Mahaney is a bucket getter on that team.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really like the St. Mary's team.
I also have St. Mary's winning this game. And I also have them winning a few games and beating Bama, which I have, and then Michigan State as well in the next round. So I think that if they can play.
You guys both have St. Mary's Elite 8?
I have St. Mary's Final 4.
That's ridiculous. Continue, Wesley. I'm sorry.
I think that they can slow the game down. They're a great defensive team. And I think that if Mitchell Saxon can stay out of foul trouble, he's a key piece if they're running into any sort of big guys, whether that be on Grand Canyon or in future games, hopefully. But yeah, they're a total pace of play team. If the game's not at their pace, they struggle. I think they hold teams to like 55 points per game, something like that. So a very low number. They're going to try and just run out the clock, essentially, and just suffocate you on defense. So,
yeah, I'm all over GCU in this game. They have 3 players that average over 10 points a game.
That is not telling for me.
Okay. That's they have an NBA prospect. Does St. Mary's have an NBA prospect? I didn't think so. So GCU has that going for them. They just went on a great conference tournament run. They're experienced. They beat San Diego State, who I would say plays a very similar style of basketball to St. Mary's earlier in the year.
That was a good win, but that was at home.
In non-con. I like GCU a lot in this one. I don't think St. Mary's has the firepower. I think GCU has the best player on the floor in this game, Ty and Grant Foster.
I don't know, man. I'd put Aiden Mahaney up there against him, honestly.
Aiden Mahaney's not even the best player on St. Mary's.
Augustus, whatever.
It's Augustus.
Augustus Mesheleonis or something. He won West Coast Conference Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Which was crazy because I think he was only averaging like 12 and 5
early
or
lines,
something.
St. Mary's 4-point favorites.
Yeah, I mean, they like to slow it down, don't they? So I don't it's really envision
be a
it being
yeah.
a blowout necessarily. But as long as St. Mary's can play at their pace, I really like this
Yeah,
team.
You should be shouting out some lines if
Yeah, they don't have them for every. It's actually very few. This might be the only line they have out on CBS, at least.
Okay,
they want people to be ripping the bets early on that.
Moving on, we got 4-seeded Alabama playing 13-seeded the College of Charleston.
I love how they have it on this paper bracket as College of Charleston. That's electric. That's absolutely electric. Bama is a weird team.
Yeah,
they're a weird team. I mean, obviously, they're.
they're a bad team is what they are.
They play no defense at all. Zero defense. I mean, games that they play in easily get to 90 points.
I think I could play against Alabama and drop, I don't know, a baker's dozen. That's how bad their defense is. It's that bad.
They don't play any. They're saying, we're just going to run all day on you. And if you look at the stats, you're like, oh my God, all these guys averaging like 15 points a game. Mark Sears is averaging like 23 or whatever points per game. But it's just because they play no defense. And that's just, they live or die by their three ball, obviously. They're pretty, I'd say they're a decently deep team. But they're just going to run. And I think Charleston also is an offensive team as well, too. I think they're a pretty good shooting team. I think that's what they do is try and fill it up from deep. So
yes, they are a very good shooting team.
It's going to be an interesting matchup. Over-under in this game could be very big.
I'm rocking with the college, though. Give me Charleston. Coached by Pat Kelsey. Charleston last year was a 12 seed, playing 5 seed San Diego State, who obviously went on to the championship game. And they kept that game really close. I think they only lost by like 4 or 5 points, and it came down to the wire. Charleston showed me a lot of resiliency in their conference tournament. They sort of got behind in some games, fought back. And like you said, they can shoot it pretty well. Alabama's defense is just terrible. Like I bet on them throughout the year, and they would just always disappoint me. I just can't put any trust in this Alabama team.
That's fair. Alabama's a very boom or bust team. Mm-hmm. If they're shooting well, they can beat anyone. If they're not, they can lose to anyone. I've got Bama in this one. I just trust the leadership of Mark Sears and Aaron Estrada.
Yeah, I agree. I think Mark Sears is a good facilitator for them, and he can fill it up.
Next up,
levels.
Next up, we got 6-seeded Clemson facing 11-seeded New Mexico.
I feel like a 6-seed is quite steep for a Clemson team that has kind of been struggling down the stretch. And I think Clemson is very dependent on two players, and that's PJ Hall and Joe Girard. Essentially, they're just saying, Joe, just fire. Just fire from three. And if that doesn't work, they got some problems. And their offense can get very, very stagnant if Joe Girard has an off shooting day, which could easily happen and has happened. And they've suffered some interesting losses because of that. I got New Mexico in this game. New Mexico fresh off a semi-surprising, I guess, Mountain West tournament win.
They were the 6th seed in the Mountain West. So, yeah, I think
it's semi-surprising. They're led by Jalen House, who's a bucket. I think he scored like 30 points in the championship game for the Mountain West tourney. They also have Jamal Mashburn as well, too. So I'd say they're a pretty deep team, and I think that I have them winning two games in my bracket. I think that they actually take care of Clemson pretty handily. And I think, Charlie, you said that they're favorites?
Yes. Or
was that
early favorites? I don't know if it's a trustworthy book, but they are early 1.5-point favorites as an 11 seed.
Yeah, I figured it's going to be a pick 'em game.
Yeah, I agree with you, Wesley. I'm all over New Mexico this game. I feel very confident in this game. They have three elite guards. Anyone can beat you on any given night. This team is very, very high in KenPom, might I add.
Yes, they're really high.
So they're 23rd in KenPom. Very balanced. They force a lot of turnovers. I'm not huge on Clemson. Wesley said, they rely a lot on PJ Hall and Joe Girard. I think New Mexico's got a lot of guys that can get it done and beat you. I've also got New Mexico winning two games.
I agree with everything you guys have said. However, I am taking Clemson. A dear friend of mine and you guys goes to New Mexico State. His name is Matt, and he actually worked for the New Mexico State basketball program. And, you know, I've signed a blood oath with him to never pick the New Mexico Lobos in the tournament. A lot of shady characters at that school. And so while they might be a good team, maybe they're favored, I don't care. I'm going with Clemson. I'm rocking with PJ Hall. I'm rocking with Girard. And hopefully Clemson can get it done, because I would really hate to see this band of not-so-great guys from New Mexico win.
Okay.
That's fair.
Next up, we've got 3-seeded Baylor versus 14-seeded Colgate. Colgate seems like they always are winning that Patriot League.
I think there are no competition in the Patriot League. It's like it's toothpaste every year. It has to be. I feel like I've never seen. I mean, who else is even in there? Is that
Boston?
Is who else? Is it Lehigh in that conference too, or am I tripping?
That sounds right. Yeah.
Lehigh's in that as well, too. Yeah, I feel like it's always, you see that maroon sea of Colgate always in there.
Anyone going with Colgate in this game, though?
I have not.
I did not, but I considered.
Okay. Colgate always seems like they keep it close whenever they're in. They kept it close against Wisconsin a few years ago, and there was another game that I also saw on Twitter from
Arkansas. Like
4 or 5 years ago, Arkansas, that they kept it close with as well. So I don't know. I think Baylor, they're one of the most efficient offensive teams I know. They're very deep. They got a bunch of scorers, Jacoby Walter, Ray J. Dennis, can fill it up too. So,
yeah, I'm not in love with Baylor either, but I am taking them to beat Colgate. So
that's how I feel as well.
That's kind of my thought process. I really don't like Baylor either, which is why I only have them winning one game. But I don't. Colgate doesn't really excite me.
Yeah. Next up, we've got 7-seeded Dayton facing 10-seeded Nevada. Sort of an interesting seeding. Dayton, 7 seed for Dayton?
Dayton has been skidding like crazy recently. I think they've lost like, what, 5 out of their last 6 or something like that. They've really been struggling. They were, what, 18th in the country at some point?
Yeah.
And I think that the fact that they got a 7 seed is crazy. I thought they were like nearing the bubble towards the end during that losing stretch. And for them to be this comfortably in the tournament is quite surprising, I would say. Obviously, they have, what's it, is it something Holmes? Is it?
Yeah, Dayron
Holmes. Dayron Holmes, yeah. He's
very good.
He's their player. They live or die by him. He needs as many touches as he can handle, essentially. And I think they get it done against Nevada. I'm honestly not inspired by either one of these teams. I could totally, you know, have a little moment of realization and just flip my pick to Nevada. It's almost a coin flip kind of game for me, but I'm rolling with Holmes and Dayton.
I didn't really know who to pick in this game either. However, my buddy sent me a tweet, and it says, Dayton is a 7 seed with 0 wins versus teams in the field.
Mm-hmm.
That was all I needed to hear. I wrote down Nevada and thought no more of it.
I saw that as well. I picked Nevada as well, and I actually feel pretty confident about that. Dayton, yeah, they got Dayron Holmes, but they've really been struggling lately.
Yeah.
So give me the Wolfpack there. Finally, in this region, we've got 2-seeded Arizona facing 15-seed Long Beach State. Alex, I know you're just mentioning Long Beach State a little bit ago. You want to talk about what happened with their coach?
Yeah, so I believe that the school and their coach agreed to mutually part ways after the season, which was on like Monday, I believe. So
before the conference tournament.
About a week ago before the conference tournament. And then, yeah, as a 4-seed, they ended up going on, winning the tournament, knocked off UC Davis in the conference final, and here they are dancing.
Yeah.
I mean, as a school, as a coach, I don't know what that dynamic's like.
Yeah,
like,
who knows? Maybe it's just the last dance for them.
I mean, maybe, but, like, I mean, he took the team to the tournament. I feel like school's got to give this man an extension after this.
Give him a shot or something. Yeah, that's a weird thing, though, to be like, you walk into your locker room, yep, you know, I'm done after this season, and then they just go and win, what, 3-4 games in a row, and all of a sudden, here they are in the tournament as the 15 seed.
Keep in mind, Arizona got upset as the 2 seed last year versus Princeton.
Correct.
I think Luke on this podcast famously said, you know, the big boys of Tubelis and Balo, you know, Princeton's not going to be able to handle them. Well, Princeton did handle them quite easily,
in fact.
So I don't want to totally discount Long Beach State, but I mean, I don't think Arizona loses again.
Yeah, I've got Arizona, and honestly, I think Arizona got a very good draw.
They did. They got an unbelievable draw.
I have them in my Final Four, and I think the only game that gives them trouble would be versus UNC in the Elite Eight, where Caleb Love goes up against his old team.
Revenge game, potentially, if they even get there.
That would be must-see TV for sure. I've got them in the Elite Eight.
I guess that's the difference, I think, with this Arizona team as opposed to last Arizona's team is Caleb Love.
Mm-hmm. He's an elite guard.
He's going to make the big-time shots, and you're going to feel confident when he's taking them, too.
Yeah, I also have Arizona in my Final Four. They picked up transfer from San Diego State.
Keshad Johnson.
I couldn't think of his first name. He's a really good defender and an unbelievable athlete. And I think that along with Pelle Larsen as well, too, and Caleb Love, obviously, and Umar Balo, that they have enough pieces to be able to make a nice run. And I think they got a great draw. I think Baylor's probably the weakest 3 seed, in my opinion. And I honestly think Alabama's probably the weakest 4 seed. So their path is
Well, they wouldn't have to play Alabama to the Elite Eight.
But I know. I'm just saying, like, just in, yeah. Just
do you think UNC is the weakest one?
Yes,
quite clearly.
I do as well.
Yeah. So I think that they got the best draw, and it probably shows because they probably were ranked as the top two seed. But yeah, I think they got it. They got a really good draw and a pretty easy path to the Final Four if they can just take care of business. So I have them in my Final Four as well.
All right. So you guys both have Arizona in your Final Four, and mm-hmm. I've got St. Mary's coming out of this region.
Do you have them beating Zona?
Yes, I do have them beating Arizona.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on to the South region. We've got one-seeded Houston. Wesley, your Cougars. Houston. Every year.
They're back. I'm back for more.
Versus 16-seed Longwood. You're back for more. Do you have Houston winning it all?
I do have Houston winning it all.
Talk about predictability. Yep. My goodness.
It's as old as time. And, you know, the Cougars this year, man, I absolutely love them. And, you know, people say, wow, they just got absolutely curb stomped by Iowa State and put up 40 points and this and that. And I honestly think that, you know, that hardship will just create, you know, more brotherhood within the team, a tighter knit team.
That's crazy.
I think that it's not bad to lose in your conference tourney, you know, maybe a little wake-up call.
I sometimes agree, but getting shellacked by Iowa State is not a great look.
Yes. Yeah. And all another thing is, I know they live or die by Jamal Shedd. And he has games where he does go like 5 of 19 from the floor. And that does happen. But they've also won in games where he's done that, which is crazy. I think they're a 3-loss team. Obviously, you know, Houston's been one seed in the past. They've been playing in the American. First year in the Big 12. And
Seamless transition.
They proved that they belong. They have Juwan Roberts, who's probably the X factor for this team. He's a great defender and their primary rebounder. But obviously they picked up LJ Cryer from Baylor and also have Emmanuel Sharp, who's kind of come up through the ranks of the Houston program and is becoming a pretty elite scorer for them as well too. So, and obviously Kelvin Sampson's teams are going to be absolute hounds on defense. And
that's their calling card. It's defense.
Yeah.
But the reason I'm not as high on this Houston team as you are, and honestly a lot of people are, especially the computers, you know, the metrics love Houston, is just their offense is not as consistent as I would want for a top seed in this tournament.
That's very fair.
Like, they are relying on just having top tier, the best in the best defense every single game in, game out. And so if Houston has an off night shooting themselves, like they did versus Iowa State, or if another team, you know, even through all that good defense, is just hitting their shots, you know, just one of those games, I think that they are upset prone. I wish that there were some more competitive teams in their sub-region so that I could pick them to get upset early. I don't love the 8 or the 9 here, so I couldn't pick it, but I'm not as high on this Houston team as everyone is.
Yeah, I also have Houston obviously beating Longwood. However, I have them losing in the second round.
Woo!
So let's get into this matchup, Nebraska, Texas A&M right away.
Interesting matchup.
I completely disagree with your statement, Chuck. I think both of these teams would give Houston a lot of fits.
Nebraska would not. Absolutely.
Nebraska first would be because they shoot a ton of threes and they shoot a pretty good percentage. So if they are hot, I think they could beat them.
I thought about picking Nebraska over Houston, but Houston's perimeter defense is still pretty good. I think that they'd be able to lower Nebraska's shooting percentage enough.
Yeah, I have Texas A&M beating Nebraska, and I have them beating Houston.
Tomu lives or dies by Wade Taylor and Tyrese Radford.
I mean, like, I can say my reasoning.
Yeah,
for
let's hear it.
A&M over Nebraska first.
Okay. I mean,
I'm not bought into the Kaisei Tominaga hype. I'm gonna go out there and say it.
Me neither.
Texas A&M is going to out-physical the crap out of this team. They're going to crash the offensive glass. They're going to get to the free throw line. I like that style of basketball. I think it's safer than Nebraska's very volatile offense that shoots a ton of threes.
And Tomu has beat Kentucky twice this year. Mm-hmm. And has beat Tennessee as well, too. Obviously, Nebraska beat Purdue earlier and had that nice at-home comeback win against Wisconsin. But let's not forget, Nebraska home versus road record is drastically different. Mm-hmm. I believe they lost, like, what, one, maybe two games at home. But obviously lost a ton on the road. So, you know, obviously the neutral site kind of plays into it a little bit as well, too.
Yeah, I mean, A&M, they've been really hot recently, especially in the SEC tournament. But let's not forget about some of their stretches that they had during the middle of the season, because they started off the season pretty hot, too. There was probably a month, 2 month stretch there in the middle of the season where they didn't even look like an NIT team. And, you know, we've got a friend that lives with us that is a big Texas A&M fan. And, you know, I think he cheers for them a little bit too much for my liking. So made a bet with him, and I just can't pick Texas A&M here. I'm going with the basketball. hopefully Kaisei Tominaga is knocking him dead.
Better hope.
Can I just rant on Tamu versus Houston real quick?
Yeah, because I love that pick despite not liking Texas A&M.
Yeah,
I love that pick.
I don't really like Texas A&M either because of our roommate, like you just said.
Yeah,
so this is a completely unbiased pick. I think Texas A&M matches up perfectly for Houston. If we look at Buzz Williams, look at where he coached. I'm a big Marquette fan. I've watched him coach Marquette. He coached the Jay Crowders, the Jimmy Butler. Those teams were hounds. They were dogs.
Yeah.
Physical. That's what Houston does. They get a lot of offensive rebound. They're going to pound you down low, slow it down. Well, Tamu's just as physical. They crash the glass. They get to the line. And then they have Wade Taylor and Tyrese Radford who can hit those big shots. I think I'm convincing Wesley over here that his winner pick is going to lose in the second round.
I really hope that either Nebraska ball or A&M can finish what Rutgers started in that one matchup versus Houston a couple years back as a 10 seed versus 2 seeded Houston. Because holy shit, did they get hosed by the refs. But you know, we're not going to dive back into that. But I'd love that pick, Alex. And Wesley, I really hope your winner pick goes home early this year. Not a fan of the Cougars.
We shall see.
Moving on to a game that I can't wait to talk about.
Yeah.
We've got 5-seeded Wisconsin Badgers. As you guys may or may not know, we do go to the University of Wisconsin, playing 12-seeded James Madison.
I think this was a bad draw for the Badgers. James Madison can absolutely light it up. I think they're one of the 3-loss team. They had a great win over Michigan State. I think was that the first game of the year for them,
it was.
For each team? So a great start to the year for them. And they earned this 12 seed. They absolutely rolled through their conference. But the Badgers had an absolutely horrific stretch where they lost, I think, you know, 8 out of 11. And just fell off. They were number 6 in the country. Totally fell off to unranked. People were starting to question, are these guys even going to eventually make the tournament? And they really turned it around in the Big Ten tournament, picking up nice wins against Northwestern and then Purdue, and, you know, hanging tight with Illinois all the way down the stretch. And it was a close game till the very end. I think this team's getting hot at the right time. I think the reason is because Chucky Hepburn is looking to score. And I think that that's been a huge boost for them. And A.J. Storr was an absolute bucket during the Big Ten tournament. I think that Wisconsin gets it done against JMU.
I've got the bad.
Slightly biased.
Yes, I've got the Badgers as well, but man, this is a scary draw.
This is the scariest.
James Madison coming out of the Fun Belt, only 3 losses.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? 3 losses? You know, win total's got to mean something these days. We can't only focus on quad 1 and quad 2.
Yep.
We got to focus on win total a little bit. 3 losses is really impressive. And like you said, they beat Michigan State first game of the year. The reason I'm going with the Badgers is, you know, obviously I don't want to be the guy rooting against Wisconsin when we go here. But also, like you said, there have been people on that team. Chucky Hepburn, A.J. Storr, Klesman, they seem a little bit more willing to score and look for their own. People are a little bit less passive. Even Carter Gilmore, he's starting to attempt shots, which I never thought I would see the day that he's
exactly
looking for
that. A 3 go up, I was like, my eyes almost fell out of my head.
Because during the tough stretch for Wisconsin, I mean, people were afraid to have the ball in their hands.
It was terrible to watch.
Only Storr was the only guy that seemed like he wanted to get a bucket.
Yep.
So I like what I saw out of them in the Big Ten tournament. I'm rocking with the Badgers to the Sweet 16.
I am as well.
I've got JMU in this one. They haven't really played anyone good outside of Michigan State. However, metrics are still big on JMU. Obviously, like we've talked about, they're a 3-loss team. They had Fun Belt Player of the Year, Terrence Edward, who's got a really nice game. And also, I think who's talked about more on JMU, and I don't really know why, TJ Bickerstaff, also a very good player. Wisconsin's just, they're too inconsistent for me. They're too inconsistent for me, so I'm going to roll with the upset here.
I feel like my reasoning for rolling with Wisconsin is they're a streaky team. And I think the streak is, the way they're playing right now is a positive one. and I think they can keep that rolling.
This is going to be a popular upset pick. I bet you that this is the most picked
12-5
game.
And people are going to look at it because of looking at Wisconsin's record, A, and B, looking at James Madison's record, and that's just going to be like a, And I bet the line's going to be pretty close, too. So, we'll see.
Yeah.
I'd imagine Wisconsin probably about 3 to 5 point favorites, probably about around that range.
Something like that. Next up, we've got 4-seeded Duke versus 13-seeded Vermont. Can we show Vermont a little bit of love? I feel like they come out of the American East
every
single year. Let's give some damn credit to these guys.
I agree. Them and UMass Lowell are the only teams that even...
Yeah, I was really disappointed UMass Lowell didn't make it. But
it's unfortunate. It's always the Catamounts.
Congrats to Vermont. I forget what their coach's name is, but he's done a fantastic job there because they are always in the tournament.
Always. Yeah. Always is a 13-14.
And you know what? They have not really won in the tournament.
Nope.
No.
Absolutely they have not. Won.
But you know what? I think they're due.
Wow.
I'm taking Vermont over Duke. Duke, they just, it seems like anytime Duke gets a little bit of momentum, like, oh, is Duke going to be a top seed? They just don't have any signature wins. I mean, they went 0-3 versus North Carolina this year, right?
Yep.
0-2.
Sorry, yeah.
0-2.
Just regular season.
And just, I'm just not that impressed by this Duke team.
They feel like they're deep, but not deep. Like, I feel like they play a lot of guys, but I don't, like, obviously Roach is kind of the guy that runs the offense. I'm not fully bought in to the Filipowski hype train, in my opinion, personally. But I do have them taking down Vermont and then losing to Wisconsin. I think they're just going to be a little bit too big for Vermont. Vermont's just a run-and-gun team. They always have been. They've always just been a run-and-fire-threes kind of team. Mm-hmm. Dating back to the days, I think, Jeremy Lin. There was a guy that was on Vermont that...
Oh, I know who you're talking about, too.
Not Jeremy.
I don't know his name, though.
Oh, my goodness. I can't remember it. It's never going to come to me either. But I think Duke's too big, and they'll take care of Vermont in this game.
Yeah, I think Duke kind of – they were a sexy pick last year to make a run. They lost second round, obviously, to Tennessee. They started two freshmen last year, I believe. This year they only start one. So you got Proctor starting and Mark Mitchell – or and Filipowski, I guess, so three freshmen starting last year. They're all sophomores now.
Mm-hmm.
We got another year of experience under their belt. Now they only start one freshman, Jared McCain, who, might I add, absolute sniper.
Yeah.
I like this Duke team this year. I'm going to take them based off experience. And
Metrics
I also
like
them
as well.
Going to the Elite Eight.
Metrics like them. They're in eighth in KenPom.
Next up, we've got 6-seeded Texas Tech versus 11-seeded NC State, who won 5 games in 5 days in the ACC tournament.
No buys. Zero buys for NC State.
They weren't getting in if they didn't win that tournament.
Oh, absolutely not.
They're the
only huge bid steal.
There's only been one other team to win 5 games in 5 days, and that was 2011 UConn with Kemba Walker, which we all know what happened that year. It's a crazy story for NC State. I mean, they've got DJ Burns, guy who weighs almost 300 pounds, it looks like, out there, who just dominates down low.
He's smooth with his moves, too.
Fun to watch.
Yeah, really good footwork.
A lot of people are going to be picking NC State if they watch that tournament.
I
won't be me, though, but you guys go.
I'm picking NC State just because my love for DJ Burns is vast. And I just love... They're a little electric team. And I feel like I could be getting potentially Georgetown from 2 years ago... But I think this team is better than that Georgetown team that made the tournament.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, this team's better than that Georgetown team. And
that
that's
Georgetown...
coming from someone who picked that Georgetown team.
Yeah, I think this team is better. But, man, I just love DJ Burns. And I kind of told myself while watching that NC State run, once it got near the end, I'm like, if they win this tournament, I'm obliged to pick them.
Yeah, I love that.
So I'm riding with the Wolfpack here.
Yeah, I've also got the Wolfpack. I think it's a little biased because I also love DJ Burns.
I am also going to admit that I am very biased.
Yeah, we haven't talked about DJ Horn.
Yeah.
DJ Burns is very good, but DJ Horn's their best player. Texas Tech, they just don't really do it for me.
Yeah.
I don't really like them on offense. I think Pop Isaacs has been a little inconsistent. Joe Toussaint, I think he's just average. I'm just going to rock with the Wolfpack here.
Give me the Tortilla Bros. I'm going with Texas Tech. NC State feels like fool's gold to me, you guys. I know that they're better than that Georgetown team, but it feels a little bit like that Georgetown
team. I'm a little bit worried about that, but I don't think Texas Tech... I feel like the six seeds this year are very weak.
Yeah, and I don't love Texas Tech. Like, Pop Isaacs is a nice player. Joe Toussaint, you know, he's kind of a meme. You feel like he's been everywhere. And I kind of like him just because he's a familiar name. But I don't love Texas Tech, but I just have this gut feeling that NC State is total fool's gold.
That's fair, and that's a totally reasonable argument given that NC State, before their tournament run, really was not good.
Well, let's keep in mind, in the first round of their tournament, in the first round of the ACC tournament, they played Louisville. And for those who don't know, Louisville is basically the worst team of all time. They're just a notch above DePaul. They were tied 75-75 with Louisville with 4 minutes left to play. That's pretty despicable.
They ended up winning by like 10, though.
Yeah, they ended up winning by 10. Good for them. Kudos. But I'm just not going to be fooled by them. I'm telling myself that right now.
That's fair.
I'm not going to be fooled by them. Moving on, we've got 3-seeded Kentucky facing 14-seed the Oakland Bros.
The Oakland Bros. What a story. Horizon League team not as a 15 or 16. They graduated to the 14 seed. Yeah. I feel like the Horizon League's never normally get.
I mean, crazy story. I mean, Oakland's coach has been there for 40 years.
Something Kemp or something.
Yeah, I mean, they have a guy on their team who he coached his father.
Trey Townsend, they talked about, like, he held him when he was like 3 years old. And this guy's a pretty good basketball player and grew up in Michigan and always desired to go to Oakland over an MSU or a Michigan.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. And to see him now lead their team to the big dance is pretty inspiring and pretty cool to see, honestly. So good for the Oakland Bros.
Yeah, it's a fun story. But Alex, you got Oakland in this game? Or?
Absolutely not. I think Oakland stinks. I actually don't know how they got a 14 seed. The Horizon sucks.
That's what I was thinking too. It's weird.
The best team in the Horizon was 2-seed Youngstown State. Unfortunately, they got bounced early.
Best seed according to what?
Oakland didn't even play anyone. Just best team according to my eyes.
Okay. Oh yeah.
But Alex's Oakland didn't play anyone. I think this is a decent first and second round draw for Kentucky. I think they see a weak 14 seed and then a weaker 11 seed in NC State.
Oakland? Looking at Oakland's schedule. They actually scheduled, good for Oakland, they scheduled a lot of out-of-conference games. They played at Ohio State, at Illinois, at Drake, at Xavier, at Michigan State, at Dayton.
Did they win any of them?
They won at Xavier. But they only lost Drake by 8, lost to Illinois by 11, lost to Ohio State by 6, lost to Sparty by 17. That's a bad loss. But, I mean, I do not have Oakland. Let me clear the air here. I do not have Oakland. I have UK winning multiple games, and I think Kentucky is a very deep team. They got the famous 504 West Mifflin debate of Reed Shepherd versus Rob Dillingham.
Oh, yeah. Guys, if you're listening to this episode, please comment on any of our tweets, our Instagram posts.
Who is
better?
Please
tell us who the better player is, Rob Dillingham or Reed Shepherd.
It's a very hot debate, but honestly, the most important...
It shouldn't even be a debate, though.
The most important player of this team is
Real Hoopers. Real Hoopers, no.
Reed clears.
It's Reed.
Reed clears.
But there's a lot of...
Real Hoopers, no, it's Dillingham.
But the most important player is actually Antonio Reeves.
I would agree.
But...
That's what everyone says, but, like, I don't know if I agree.
You think it's Rob still?
I think it's Rob or Reed. Everyone says it's Antonio Reeves, and I'm not saying he's...
I think it's Reeves or Justin Edwards, personally.
Regardless, let's talk about this Kentucky team a little bit. We've all got them beating the Oakland Bros, obviously, but this Kentucky team is another team that plays no defense.
No defense.
Yeah. Absolutely none. Again, I think I could go score double figures.
I think the only player on Kentucky that plays defense is Reed Shepherd.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yes, Alex. Okay. Reed Shepherd plays defense. Like, what do you want me to say here? Congrats. But I only have Kentucky winning two games, and I agree with you, Alex. I actually do like their draw. I actually kind of wanted Kentucky. I wanted to pick Kentucky to get bounced pretty early, just because they are such a volatile team.
So volatile.
It feels like they're either going to get bounced like first or second round, or make the Final Four.
Yeah, I think the first and second round they're okay. I don't see them making it any further than that.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Slight bias potentially.
Wesley, what do you got, Kentucky?
I got Kentucky going to the Elite Eight. I think that they're a pretty well rounded team. Obviously, they're battle tested in the SEC. They have a bunch of good wins. They. I think Reed was the against Tennessee that Reed Shepherd hit the last second floater to win the game. I don't know if that was against Tennessee, but they've beaten Tennessee.
Yes, they have.
They've beaten Auburn. They've beaten Bama. Yeah, they have a bunch of good wins. I think that they're just an electric team. I love watching them play.
Oh, super fun to watch.
So fun.
Super fun to watch.
Like, Bama kind of plays the same way, but they're just not exciting to me. Like, I just love watching Kentucky play. I got them going to the Elite Eight.
Okay. Moving on, we've got 7-seeded Florida, the Gators, playing 10-seed play-in game. They're doing play-in games for the 10-seed, by the way. What do you guys feel about
there's
this?
There's so many bid steals that all of the bid stealers are 11s.
Are 11s, yeah. And then everybody got bumped down to the 10.
Yeah, forced their hand a little bit. But the play-in game for the 10-seed is Boise State and Colorado.
I have – if Colorado wins the play-in game, I got Colorado. If Boise State wins, I'm ripping Florida. I hate Boise State. I will not be picking them to win any games, but I do like Colorado. And I think that the metrics also, I think, really like Colorado. Yeah, Ken
Palm really likes Colorado.
And I think they can get it done against a Florida team that just lost one of their bigs potentially to a...
yeah, he's done. He broke his leg.
Yeah, it was. I think it was exposed bone or something. Yeah. It didn't look very good.
I've got Florida winning this game. If Boise beats Colorado, I don't see them putting up any fight against Florida.
Yeah, exactly.
I will say this Colorado team is very interesting. They have potential top 5, top 10 pick in Cody Williams. They're led by KJ Simpson, who's a really good point guard, and then they have their stretch forward, Tristan Da Silva. I think they could give Florida some problems. However, I really like this Florida team.
I do too. I'm going with the Gators, and the Gators, they're not quite on, like, I don't get this confused. I'm not saying they're on, like, Michigan State's level, but it feels like whenever Florida's in the bracket, they always win their first game, does it not?
Yeah. I've picked against Florida a few times, and I've been proven wrong.
Trey Mann.
Yeah, that Virginia Tech game. I picked Virginia Tech as well. Overtime, so at least it was close. But I'm going with Florida here, and Alex, you know, when the selection show was unveiling this bracket, you sort of knew that Marquette was going to be slotted in for this 2-seed here, and you saw Florida, and you got nervous.
Yeah. Things that Marquette struggle against are good rebounding teams. Florida's top 10 rebounding team in the country, which scares me a little bit. However, I think Marquette – I'm chalking up Marquette to beat Western Kentucky in the first round. I'm looking at a potential second-round matchup here. I really think it's Marquette's year. Tyler Kolek's going to be back. Cam Jones has been playing great basketball. Oso's been playing great basketball. And without Tyler Kolek, it's forced our other guys to step up and have those
moments in big-time games, valuable.
It could be viewed as a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, I mean, agree.
They got to play that whole Big East tournament without their best player.
Mm-hmm.
And they still made it.
You're right, the guys stepped up.
I would say we're not super deep. I mean, we lost backup point guard Sean Jones, but with Kolek being out, obviously, some other guys got to get minutes. Trey Norman get more minutes. We saw Zaid Lowry get more minutes. Chase Ross now starting, so he'll obviously be a sixth man. But his confidence should be high. This is a Marquette team that they made the Big East championship game.
Without their best player.
Without Tyler Kolek. The UConn game, it kind of got out of hand towards the end, but they put up a great fight for the first half and halfway through the second. So
yeah, and I mean, when you're playing UConn without Kolek, like, what are you really going to do at the end of the day?
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, I love Marquette this year. I mean, I really like the way that Cam Jones has been playing. I was shit-talking Cam Jones a couple weeks ago, as you guys well know. I said, you know what? It feels like anytime there's a big game, Cam Jones just doesn't step up. And my goodness, Cam Jones must have been in the room while I was having that conversation. Because ever since then, he's playing very great basketball. Obviously, in that championship game against UConn, they kind of knew that he was going to have to lead the team, and so they were locking in on him, and he didn't play as well. But aside from that, he's been playing really good. And with TK back, I got Marquette making a Final Four run.
Yeah, I've also got Marquette Final Four, and honestly, I think this potential matchup versus Florida or Colorado would be a tougher matchup for us than Kentucky.
Yeah.
In the Sweet 16. Reasoning behind that is Kentucky cannot defend the pick and roll whatsoever.
That's fair.
And there's no one better at the pick and roll than Kolek and Oso.
Do you think this is the Golden Eagles' year?
I think
so. Is it their year, Alex?
I think it's our year.
That'd be incredible, wouldn't it?
I think it's our year.
Let's look at a potential Elite Eight matchup. As you know, this is very near and dear to us, of Marquette versus Wisconsin. Would that not be a fun little in-state Elite Eight matchup?
If each... That would be awesome.
It would be mayhem in our house.
It would totally be mayhem. we may or may not be in the car for that. That would have to be, that would be unfortunate if we were.
That would be fun. If you could sign me up for that right now, I would take it.
I would totally
take it.
I'd pay.
And I would like our chances. Marquette's chances, that is.
Yeah. So that just concludes the South region. I've got Marquette coming out of it, as does Alex. Wesley, you've got the boring Houston Cougars. Any other notes?
Nothing else.
Not really.
No? All right, let's move on to the Midwest region, where we've got one seed Purdue looking to hopefully not get upset by a 16 seed this year, which is the playing game of Montana State and Grambling.
Yeah, Purdue's not, I don't think that.
We said that last year.
I'm saying I don't think it'll happen 2 years in a row. Purdue. But we can't rule anything out.
Everyone. I might have to do some scouting on Montana State and Grambling.
The Grizz. Were the Grizz the best team in the Big Sky?
Or was don't think this is... I think Montana's the Grizz. This is state.
This is like the Bobcats or whatever?
Yeah, I don't know who... Oh,
Bobcats. It is the Bobcats. But it's not just Purdue losing to a 16 seed last year. They've had a lot of struggles losing to lower seeds. They lost to St. Peter's in that Sweet 16 matchup.
And then the year before...
They lost to North Texas the year before. They lost to Arkansas Little Rock probably about like 8 years back as a 12 seed. I mean, Purdue gets upset in the first round a lot.
Yeah, they do.
But this Purdue team is different.
This Purdue team is different, and let's say theoretically they can make it through the 16 seed. I believe that their path to the Elite Eight is very easy.
Zach Edey is going to win Player of the Year, whether you like him or not. He's one of the most unlikable, easy. He is one of the easiest players to dislike in the nation.
Correct.
He's about 7'3".
The Big Ten ref.
He looks like Frankenstein, and his game is pretty boring. I will say it like that. His game is pretty darn boring.
Yeah.
But he's only improved from last year.
Mm-hmm.
Their guards, Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer, they're both a year older. They're pretty young. And they have stepped up their games as well. Purdue is starting to hit more outside shots. They even brought in transfer, I believe, Lance Jones. They've got...
was a great pickup.
They've got that guys that can hit these outside shots. Let's not forget Mason Gillis. I've got Purdue winning it all this year. I read the script. And it is very similar
to 2019
Virginia, who lost to 16 seed UMBC the year prior and then won it the next year. Do I feel great about picking Purdue to win it all? No, not really. It kind of feels boring, but I don't care about that. I just care about winning.
Yeah, I think what you said is true. I think they are a better team than last year, mainly definitely because of the extra experience for their two guards, and then they brought in Lance Jones, who adds that defensive intensity to go alongside Gillis' good defense. I've got them winning two games. I think they rely too much on Edey.
That's fair. And that's, I mean, the way to instantly stop them is Edey foul trouble.
Yep.
And
instant
stop.
And where also they could run into roadblocks is if the refs in March Madness
are different than the Big Ten refs
calling fouls like the Big Ten refs, because, you know, again, I'm picking Purdue, but I'm not like, I don't have Purdue blinders on. Like, these Big Ten refs give Edey a very favorable whistle, and that was super noticeable in the Wisconsin game.
Yeah, it was.
Like, that was evident. It was thrown.
Yeah, it did look like it was trying to get thrown, and Badgers came out on top, obviously. But like Charlie said, that's the Big Ten refs are very favorable to Zach Edey, and you don't know what's going to happen in the Big Dance. You know, maybe you get some ACC refs or whatever, and they're not calling all this, and then it's a totally different ball game. So hard to tell, but Purdue is a more complete team than last year, 100%.
Yeah. They will be playing the winner of 8-seeded Utah State and 9-seeded TCU.
I think this is just an anti-fun game. I'm just not very excited to watch this game.
That's funny you say that, because I actually kind of like watching Utah State. I think
I don't know. Just like when I like read the two teams initially when I looked at the bracket, I'm like, man, this kind of stinks. I'm just not drawn to either team, really. I got Utah State in this game. Throwback to Nemeous Kata days of Utah State. Yeah. Justin Bean.
Shout out Abel Porter. Shout out Diogo Brito. Those were some fun teams back in the day.
Yeah, those Utah State teams were fun.
Sam Merrill, too. We forgot to mention
Sam him. Merrill, former Buck.
I'm going with Utah State as well. I mean, their coach, Danny Sprinkle, this is his first year coaching them.
Good first year.
For them to be this good in his first year coaching is really impressive. So he's clearly building something there in Utah State. I'll be taking the Aggies in this game. But honestly, it might be just more because I kind of like them. I've always liked Utah State a little bit. Got a soft spot for them.
Yeah. I will say I thought Utah State was underseeded. They won the Mountain West regular season. They went 14-4 in conference play.
Yeah, they had a good
year. Led by great Osabor, nearly averages a double-double for them. However, I've got TCU. I think they're more battle-tested. They played a tougher non-conference schedule, played a tougher conference schedule. They still have Emmanuel Miller, who I love.
I love Emmanuel.
And Avery Anderson off the bench has been very good for TCU this year. So give me the Horned Frogs.
Do we see any troubles in that 8-9 matchup versus Purdue in the next round?
No, I think Purdue matches up pretty good against both teams.
I agree. Totally agree.
Okay, good for my bracket then. Next up, we've got 5-seeded Gonzaga. That was a shocking seed, was it not? I was thinking Gonzaga was going to be a 6 or a 7.
I was thinking 7.
Yeah. I was thinking 7 as well.
We've got 5-seeded Gonzaga versus 12-seeded McNeese. Coached by Will Wade.
Yes, Will Wade. McNeese is a wagon.
McNeese is a wagon.
McNeese is a total, complete wagon. Sweet 16 McNeese.
Yep.
That's what I got.
That's what I have as well, too.
No, one game McNeese.
All right. Well, at least we're all on board McNeese here. Yep. I mean, shout out to Will Wade. This is the third team, I believe, that he's brought into the tournament. McNeese, we talked about it with James Madison. They're only a 3-loss team, you know. You can only play who you can play.
This is going to be another probably popular upset pick. So.
Yes, yeah. It absolutely will be.
Yeah, McNeese is dangerous because they have a great assist-to-turnover margin. They don't turn the ball over. They force a lot of turnovers. They pass the ball. They're led by Shahada Wells, former TCU player.
Mm-hmm.
Will Wade's done a fantastic job here. I can see him making McNeese a great team for great mid-major team for a long time.
They beat other tournament team UAB by 21.
Wow. It's impressive. You know. Do we want to talk about Gonzaga a little bit? Because this isn't, you know, the usual dominance we expect out of Gonzaga, or at least have come.
Yeah, they also, just like St. Mary's, didn't they have a really rough start to the year too?
Mm-hmm.
I think they were like 4-6 to start or something like that. Obviously,
I don't know if it was as bad.
Maybe not as bad as St. Mary's, but I know they had a little bit of a rough start. Obviously, Gonzaga's schedule is very difficult out of conference games due to the fact that they're in the West Coast Conference, and there's a lot of debate in our household about the West Coast Conference quality.
Yeah, don't get me started on the WCC. Yeah,
I think we should leave it at
that. I've lost years of my life on that.
But yeah, this is not the same team as in past with super high recruits. They have some, you know, obviously solid players. Graham Ike was a good transfer from Wyoming. They have Ryan Nemhard, who is transferred from Creighton. Mm-hmm. I think this is his second year, though, there? Or am I
no, crazy? This is his first
year. Yeah. Okay, so he was there last year. And then obviously they have maybe in his 9th year at Gonzaga, Anton Watson. I mean, he's still there, and I don't know. I'm not totally inspired by this Gonzaga team.
In conclusion, it's totally McNeese.
It's McNeese.
There's no way it's not McNeese.
It has to be McNeese.
This is a bet your life savings type of game. Next up, we've got a really interesting game. 4-seeded Kansas facing 13-seeded Samford. Alex, would you like to give the listeners a little bit of context about what's going on with Kansas this year?
Yeah, so they've been riddled by the injury bug.
They have.
Their two best players, Hunter Dickinson, Kevin McCullough. Dickinson hurt his shoulder.
I think his status is still up in the air.
I think he's good to go.
The selection committee was under the impression that both those players would be healthy per Bill Self.
Okay.
Now things can change, but that's what they were told.
Okay.
But they were missing McCullough for a while.
A while, yeah. But the thing about McCullough is they've sat him for a little bit now, so he's gotten that time to rest. Obviously, they've struggled down the stretch without him.
They have, yeah.
But I think if this team is healthy throughout the year, I think they're
probably
about them
a 2-seed.
As a 2-seed.
I agree.
And here we are. We see them as a 4-seed. And I think if they are healthy, they're dangerous. Very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. It's all about health with them. If they're healthy, like, sky's the limit for Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. But can I talk about Samford for a little bit? This Samford team is really interesting. I don't know how much you guys watch them, but they full court press you the entire 40 minutes. They hound you from baseline to baseline. And the reason they do that is they're one of the smallest teams in this field. They're very short. They don't have a ton of size. Which makes me just wonder, like, are they going to be able to keep up with guys like Hunter Dickinson down low? Like, I sort of doubt it, but
limit his touches. I mean, look what Samford FDU did with
Yeah, they're
year.
Too small, you know?
Yeah,
they're,
exactly.
They're too small, but the Samford team is interesting. That's what I'm going to say. I have Kansas, but I reserve the right to change this game. Samford's an interesting team. They at least have an interesting play style.
They do have an interesting play style. I have Samford in this game. They average 86 points a game, shoot 40% from beyond the arc, making over 10 threes a game. I think that's their key to stay in this game, obviously, with a full court press and trying to limit the amount of touches they can get. Obviously, the more time they can waste on the shot clock in full court pressure means less time to get, you know, post touches, kick out, that sort of thing, and run Kansas's offense, which, you know, if they can get a full set with a full amount of time, I think that their offense is probably going to probably beat Samford's defense. But I got Samford in this game. I'm just a little bit worried. The only thing I'm concerned about is rebounding.
Yeah, I think Samford is a good 13 seed. I think they have a chance to win this game. However, like you said, they shoot a lot of threes, and KU's got two elite defenders in Kevin McCullough and DeJuan Harris. And we hate on DeJuan Harris a lot, or at least we have in the past. Mm-hmm. We hate on him, like, in our daily conversations.
Because he's not really a scorer.
Because he can't score, but what he can do is he can pass, he takes care of the ball. So I don't think we'll have any problem beating that Samford press.
Yeah. Next up, we've got a game that I just need you guys to just tell me who to pick. We've got 6-seeded South Carolina versus 11-seeded Oregon, who won the Pac-12 tournament and punched their ticket. Can you guys sell me on someone here?
I got South Carolina's game. I think that they had a pretty good run. And I just don't buy into the Oregon hype. But to be fair, though, remember when Oregon a few years ago came in as the conference tourney winner, as the 12, and then upset Wisconsin?
That was a different team. That was Peyton Pritchard. That was Kenny Wooten. Though they had some dogs.
Wooten
in
the stars. Meechie Johnson, former Buckeye, kind of a bucket for South Carolina. And I think Oregon was injured all year, so that is a case for them. Nefali Dante is their piece. He's their big guy.
He's been there for a while.
He has been there for a while. I believe he was injured all year, if I'm not mistaken. But they're finally getting healthy and obviously kind of proved that they are a good team. And I've gone back and forth on this. I might change this pick as well, too. I have South Carolina right now. But I could see it where, you know, they were just injured and kind of an undervalued team. And now that they're finally getting healthy and they showed, I mean, they won the Pac-12. They Pac-12 is obviously a weaker conference. So
you got South Carolina, though?
I do.
I've got the Ducks. I'm going to go out there and say it. South Carolina are frauds. They are a 6-seed that is ranked 49th in net. Or not net, sorry, KenPom. That is ridiculously low. I mean, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There are 8 teams above them that didn't even make the tournament. I mean, like we mentioned at the start of the podcast, the Johnnies were 25th. South Carolina is 49th. That's ridiculously low for a 6-seed. Their Mickey Mouse run is going to come to an end. I like this Oregon team. I like Nefali Dante. They may be young in the backcourt, but they've shown they can beat good teams. They beat Arizona en route to winning the Pac-12. Give me Oregon.
I initially had Oregon as well. And I'm not going to lie, Wesley, I think Alex's argument may have outdone yours.
Yeah.
He probably felt a little bit more strongly about that game, though. So I can't say I blame
it
him.
It is a pick'em, though. So to be fair, you might be having struggles picking this. Everyone's got struggles picking
this. Yeah, I really don't know where to go with this. I feel like the 11-6s this year are just
hard to judge. Oregon's the only 11 I have winning.
I've realized.
I think New Mexico's, you have all 11s, yeah.
I've picked all 11s and all 12s.
Something's not right.
That seems like you're probably not going to have a perfect bracket.
Probably not.
I don't think so. There's a first for everything.
That there is. That there is. And the winner of South Carolina Oregon will play the winner of 3-seeded Creighton versus 14-seeded Akron. The Zips.
Zips are a solid team. They have, what are they, in the MAC?
Yep.
MAC.
They got MAC player of the year, Enrique Freeman, their big man, who's kind of the key to all their success, essentially. I like Creighton this year a lot. The metrics, love Creighton. I love Creighton. I've got Creighton in my Final Four. I think Baylor Shireman took even more of a step forward, honestly, in his role on Creighton. Trey Alexander's been amazing this year, too, and Kulk Brenner's done his thing. I think they have a pretty elite trio. They are great defensively, but also very efficient offensively. I really like this Creighton team, and I think that this, Alex said earlier, I think this could be a potential one of those, like, sexy picks.
Yeah, I mean, Creighton made the Elite Eight last year, something I called no big deal. And I'm going to have them go into the Elite Eight again this year as a 3 seed. Kalkbrenner is a beast defensively, and as you mentioned, Baylor Sherriman has really stepped up his game this year.
Mm-hmm. I feel like he's a lot more efficient this year.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Alex is...
I have Creighton right now, but I've been going back and forth between this game. Let me ask you guys, what does Creighton do well?
They like shoot thing. Pretty well.
Shoot threes.
Yeah.
Akron is top three in the country in defending the three. And not to mention, their two best players are their bigs, Enrique Freeman and Ali Ali. They're going to throw Ali Ali on Sherriman. They're going to throw Enrique on Kalkbrenner, bruise with him down low. I think this is a very tough draw for Creighton in the first round. I think they advance because they are more talented. But also that lack of depth that Creighton has very well could come and play.
I agree with you that Akron is far and away the best 14 seed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, the only one that really even comes close to matching up with them is what, the Oakland Bros?
No, Morehead. Absolutely not. Morehead. Yes. Oakland yes.
is going to get ran out of the gym.
The fact that Oakland and Akron have the same seed is actually really crazy to me.
Yeah, because the MAC was, it's not yeah. a terrible conference.
Toledo's not bad.
A terrible conference.
And Akron was what, the 2 seed? 2 seed.
Tournament? Kent yeah. State was not bad either. Kent, the Flash, Golden Flashes have made some mm-hmm. noise. I mean.
I have Creighton winning one game. When I was first looking at this, I had the Zips. I think this is a very interesting game, and I'd be worried if I was Creighton.
Yeah. Next up, we got 7 seed Texas versus the play-in game for the 10 seed of Virginia and Colorado State. How did Virginia make this tournament?
That's nonsense. Yeah. Just like how Boise State made this tournament. Virginia and Boise State, like,
get out of here. I don't know what your fixation on Boise State, like, wasn't Boise State expected to make this tournament pretty handily?
I don't
think they were a projected 7 seed.
Like, no.
Basically
yeah, they were.
The whole Mountain West was disrespected. I think, like, overrated? Utah State, for sure, like projections had basically all the Mountain West teams mm-hmm. as a better seed than what they actually finished.
Mm-hmm. Except for San Diego State.
Except for San Diego State, yeah.
Yeah. That's fair. You're saying like the bracketology projections?
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair. But on to Virginia.
What are we thinking?
All my homies said Virginia.
Picking Texas. Like,
yeah, no matter what.
That's where I'm at too.
Me too.
I really hope Colorado State beats Virginia. However, I don't think they will. But I've got Texas as well. I don't really like either of those teams.
Me neither.
In that 10-seed playing game.
Yeah, I don't either, but I'm also not that big of a fan of Texas.
Me neither.
All three of these teams are not
kind
fun.
Of a, kind of a little stink bomb game we got going on here.
I think Texas has so much talent and is just absolutely underwhelmed.
Yeah.
Asemus, Hunter, Disu, I mean... Brock Cunningham, 30th player of the year award.
How is he still there?
No idea.
Yeah, he needs to seek employment for sure.
And they got that guy, that Weaver guy, that's like kind of clamps on defense.
Shendell
Weaver.
Yeah.
I don't know. They've totally underwhelmed. Texas has.
So we've all got Texas, but we feel no conviction about it whatsoever.
Correct.
Yep.
And then finally, the last game we will recap is 2-seeded Tennessee. Wesley, seems like your favorite team year in, year out, along with Houston. Playing 15-seed St. Peter's. Hey.
Yeah, hey, never know.
Familiar name.
They're back in as a 15. I think they'll get past St. Peter's, but I don't think they're going to find too much success in the turn, like further down the tournament. I think they're too reliant on Dalton Connect. And obviously he's been crazy this year. He's unbelievable. I mean, he's scoring 30-plus regularly.
And Zakai Ziegler's a super fun player for them, too.
Yep.
But I only have Tennessee winning 2 games as well. Mm-hmm. If they played maybe a better 7 seed than Texas, maybe I'd consider picking that. But
I agree.
Yeah, I've got Tennessee going to the Elite Eight and then losing to Kansas in the Elite Eight. I do like this Tennessee team. I just think they're too reliant on Dalton Connect. And also, what has happened to Santiago Vescovi? Like,
He's still an elite defender.
He's still an elite defender. I'll give him that.
No scoring.
And I get that Connect demands the ball more.
Yeah.
But he doesn't really shoot anymore.
I mean, Vespi used to be like a 13 points a game kind of guy. It's probably 38-40% from three. Like, good distributor, too. And now he's just kind of taking that defensive role and maybe getting himself, 6 to 8 points a game.
Yeah, you guys bring up a good point. I always kind of just assumed it was Connect taking his shots. But, I mean, it can't be all that, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I know Zakai's been better offensively this year. But
and Josiah Jordan James still
gets his. But Vescovy's a really good player.
Yeah, I agree.
I want to see him get more shots.
Okay. Coach Alex, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Absolutely.
Coach Hope.
So then just to recap this region, I have got Purdue in my Final Four. You guys have?
I have Creighton.
I have Kansas.
Okay. Should we say our Final Four and our champions just one more time to recap? I'll start. My Final Four is 1-seeded UConn, 5-seeded St. Mary's, 2-seeded Marquette, and 1-seeded Purdue. Taking a little chalk in this championship game because I think the 3 1-seeds are really in a tier above everyone this year. I've got UConn versus Purdue with Purdue winning it all.
That's fair. I got UConn, Arizona, Houston, and Creighton in my Final Four with Houston defeating UConn in the championship game.
I've got 1-seed UConn, 2-seed Arizona, 2-seed Marquette, and 4-seed Kansas. I've got for the fourth time this year, UConn versus Marquette, Natty. They say it's tough to beat a team 3 times. It's got to be tough to beat a team 4 times. So give me the Golden Eagles and Marquette to win it all this year.
I love the pick, Alex.
I love that.
Ride and die by your team. It is fun when your team is, you know, has a serious shot to win it all. It's fun to pick them too.
Yeah,
it's just like a double on ton.
Oh, absolutely.
It's our year, man. It has to be.
Good vibes.
It
better be. I mean, did you guys struggle with this bracket? I struggled picking this bracket more than previous years, and I don't really know why. I just some games gave me fits.
I don't know. I feel decent about my Final Four. There's some cloudy stuff in like the Sweet 16, maybe like the second round. But I feel good about my Final Four.
Yeah. Do you guys want to briefly discuss the future of Maiden March here for our listeners?
I think you've got a better understanding on what's going on with our
Yeah, so as you know, we have not been very diligent about releasing episodes this year. In fact, this is our first episode since last
one. Zero diligency.
We got a little message from Anchor that basically said that I don't know if Anchor is shutting down in June or if they're taking our podcast off. I don't know what's happening, but this, in all likelihood, will be made in March's last episode. You know, if we can find some solutions, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll release a bracket breakdown every single year. I doubt we're going to ever get back to releasing weekly episodes.
Probably
not. I highly doubt that's going to happen, especially once we enter the real world, you know, start having jobs and whatnot. But if this is the last for made in March, it has been a fantastic time
podcasting
with you boys. We started in 2019 back in high school before COVID even. Think about that.
Yeah, the first year was the year that totally, I mean, we were recording twice a week at least and got all the way to the end just to have it be a huge letdown, which was unfortunate. But
yeah,
it's been fun.
Yeah, I just want to come on and say thank you to all our listeners. I mean, if you're still with us, if you listen to this episode after taking a year off, after we took a year off,
God bless your soul. Really appreciate
you. Shout out Devin McDaniel, man. You've been our number one fan.
Shout out, I agree.
Thick and thin.
Yeah, huge shout
out.
Thanks
for sending us messages on Instagram telling us to come back and keep it up. We appreciate you.
And you know what? We're not going to rule out anything. If Anchor somehow survives, you know, doesn't go bankrupt, whatever the heck is happening with them, or maybe we can get on some other platform, maybe we'll do a bracket breakdown every year, like I said. But
sounds good to me.
If we can't, it has been a great time. And
yep.
Until... possibly next time.
Maybe
this is we'll made see. In March.